Well, welcome back, everybody. We are now into our second session on the subject of honoring our father and mother and this foundational teaching that God gives us for a healthy, beautiful, productive life. And in our previous session, we kind of laid a foundation. And now what we want to do in this session is talk more about the establishing of boundaries. And we want to divide this talk into three parts. The first part, how can I understand boundaries? The next, how do I go about setting boundaries? And then we want to give one or two examples of setting boundaries. So let's talk about how can I understand boundaries. A little bit of review here. We often carry pain that is caused by past experiences, especially in personal relationships, where the underlying issues have never been resolved and healed. So, we're growing up. Before we are mature enough to even understand it, we have experienced things that have been hurtful, and we didn't know how to deal with them, so we just pushed them down. Very understandable, but very damaging over the long run. So we carry within us areas that are wounded. Circumstances can arise where that pain comes to the surface. And when that pain comes to the surface, I can act in hurtful, unchristlike ways that are damaging to myself and also damaging to those around me. So that's not a good thing for me. And it's not a good thing for the people around me. So boundaries are about, at least for a time, telling myself and others the truth about these matters and arranging circumstances that are least likely to give opportunities for this kind of hurtful response to take place. We may be unaware of or misunderstand these underlying issues. Our easiest responses are to live in denial and or to blame others. So that's what we do. We just pretend there's no problem. And then when there is a problem, we blame somebody else. Unresolved inner pain easily surfaces in specific situations, especially family situations. When I feel unresolved pain, there's increased likelihood that I will act it out. Blaming, shaming, and condemning are hurtful to those who experience them and also to those who express them. They are actually acts of violence. So in Matthew 5, we've talked about this before. Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not murder, but I say unto you. And then he talked about anger and contempt. So these are acts of violence. And they're further hurtful, not only to those who experience them or those against whom they are targeted, but also they're hurtful for those who engage in them. Now, Christ's way for us is not to manage anger or these responses. When we try to manage them, we will for sure be unsuccessful. They're too deep and they're too strong. And Jesus knew that managing behavior would not lead to true goodness. He knew that what needs to be done is change the sources of that hurtful behavior. So Christ's way is not to manage anger, but to be healed from anger and to be released from anger and from other destructive words and behaviors. But that is a process. So just to say, well, I need to be healed from my anger is true, but that anger is probably deep and carries with it a lot of energy. And so being healed from it will undoubtedly take a process. What is that process? Discipleship to Jesus. So we want to be very clear about this, brothers and sisters. Jesus heals people. He heals us. That's what he does. So What we want is for Jesus to bring us and our parents and others with whom we relate to the point where this destructive behavior is simply not there anymore. We're amazed ourselves. Boy, I used to be in the grip of this particular destructive behavior, and now when I look inside of me, it's just simply not there. How did that happen? I became a disciple of Jesus and learned from him how to live in the presence of God. And living in the presence of God and learning his ways and walking in his ways has resulted in a transformation within me. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Okay, how do I go about setting boundaries? How do we do that? We establish boundaries by making arrangements beforehand to avoid situations where, based on past experience, hurtful behaviors are likely to surface. We respectfully tell our parents or others that we are choosing not to be present in such settings. We are prepared to tell them why. So, what are we talking about here? Okay, I tell myself the truth. In certain situations, the likelihood that I'm going to engage in destructive behavior is significantly increased, or the likelihood that others are going to engage in destructive behavior is also significantly increased. And so I choose, at least for a season, not to be present in those kinds of situations. We do not argue. We do not defend ourselves. We do not blame or condemn. We simply communicate our decision in a respectful, honoring way. Now, we're going to give some concrete examples of this in a minute, but let's talk about one or two other things. We communicate our decision respectfully in an honoring way. This does not mean we withdraw emotionally from a parent or anyone else. To cut someone off is not like God. God doesn't cut people off. So this is the danger, this is the trap that we can fall into. Here we are, we want to honor our parents, but there is destructive behavior, either on their part or our part. We try and we try and we try and we try to overcome it. Nothing works. Failure continues. So we just give up. And we say, well, I'm just going to cut myself off. So this is where we get people not speaking to each other. Husband and wives not speaking to each other. Children not speaking to parents. Parents not speaking to children. Children not speaking to each other. Friends of the family not speak, et cetera, et cetera. So we get this whole thing that we withdraw from people. We cut people off. This is not God's way. This is not the way of Jesus. We don't learn that from Jesus. God doesn't cut people off. But it does mean that actions in the past can affect the present. Relating to other people in hurtful ways, even close family members, carries consequences. So we must, again, an important part of what we're saying here is we no longer live in denial. We no longer live in romance. We start telling ourselves the truth. And the truth is the way we have related to each other in the past has been very hurtful. That's true. It's also true that I, at least right now, I can't guarantee that I won't engage in that behavior again, or I can't guarantee that you won't engage in that behavior again. I'm also going to tell the truth about that. I'm also going to tell the truth that I am a disciple of Jesus, and I love you, and I honor you, and I'm not going to cut you off. So let's together agree that we will establish circumstances where this kind of behavior is least likely to take place. Okay, let's talk about a couple of case studies to try to make this more understandable to us. There was a situation where an adult son had left home, not in anger, but he had left home to study, he had left home to work. He noticed whenever he came home again for a visit, his father would receive him very warmly. But then after 2 or 3 days, his mother would come to him and tell him that his father was very upset with him because of this he did and that he did and the other thing he did. And this behavior just kept increasing. The father wouldn't say this to the son, say it to the mother. The mother came to the son. And the son finally came to understand that the father, who himself was quite broken in his own sense of personal worth, loved to receive his son back into the home. But once the son was in the home, the mother and the sisters communicated to the son a level of respect and honor that caused the father to be jealous. So every time the son would come home to stay for 2 or 3 days, this behavior would surface again, very hurtful for everybody involved. So the son came to understand, you know something, this doesn't happen when I come for shorter visits. If I come for a meal, if I come for 2 or 3 hours, this doesn't surface. We have a wonderful time together. It's when I'm staying at home for a week or for several days that this kind of thing surfaces. So the son realized, I need to come home for shorter visits, and he communicated this to his father, to the rest of his family. He also realized that he could communicate well with his father by mail and by phone. So that's how he related to his father. He would write letters, phone calls, and when he was in town, he would come for shorter visits. But he respectfully communicated that whenever he spent longer in town, he would simply stay with friends. So that's one example of setting boundaries. Now, here's the next case study. A woman loved her parents. She's an adult woman, and her parents would come to visit her and her husband. But whenever her parents came to visit, they would stay for a week. Whenever they came to visit, the level of anger in the relationship that the parents had with each other was just very disturbing to the daughter. And she said to her parents, please don't express that kind of anger to each other, because it's just really unpleasant to have you in my home when you are treating one another that way. But here's the thing, anger was such a foundational part of the parents' relationship with each other. And this is the problem we can have with anger. Anger or any other destructive behaviors can become so ingrained, they can become so established, they can become subconscious. People are not even aware of it, or if they are aware of it, they have the experience that this is just normal. This is part of life. And so no matter how often this woman communicated to her parents about their anger, it didn't solve anything. They just continued to speak in such unkind ways to each other. So what this woman did is she sat her parents down and she said, look, I love you. I want to be with you. But from now on, I don't want you to come and visit me. My husband and I will come and visit you. Although you live in another state, we will come to visit you and we will stay in a motel. So that means we'll stay in a nearby motel, and then we can come to your house and be with you. But the minute this kind of anger between you erupts, we very kindly, very respectfully will simply thank you for the time and return to our motel. Maybe come back the next day. But you see, what she was doing was establishing a way that when this anger surfaced, she and her husband could respectfully, not in blaming and shaming, but just respectfully leave. Once the parents are staying in her home, she doesn't have the ability to do that. But once she and her husband are staying in a nearby motel and are visiting them in their home, she can leave, again, respectfully, not in a way that dishonors them, but in respectfully just leave them with their anger. Okay, one more case study. This is a case study not about parents, but about other family members. There was a brother who found that his sister would erupt in anger toward him. He knew that this partially stemmed from hurtful ways he had treated her in childhood. So here's this brother. The sister would predictably respond to him in certain situations in anger. He knew that he had mistreated her in childhood. He had asked for her forgiveness. She had assured him that she had forgiven him, but the anger continued. The time came for the mother's birthday. The whole family is together, and there was again an eruption of this anger, again, very painful for everybody. And the brother came to realize that these events, this anger, typically happen in family settings, especially when the mother was present. So after this very difficult birthday experience, the brother was in another city, and he contacted his sister and invited her to go out to dinner with him. It meant she had to drive a couple of hours to another city. But they had dinner together and had a lovely time. None of the dynamics that had been taking place at the mother's birthday party were in operation. And so, again, it was confirmation that there were circumstances that caused that unhealed pain to surface. Now, again, we want to emphasize in talking about boundaries, our aim is for boundaries to only have a certain shelf life, because the way of Christ is healing to where the destructive behavior simply is there no more. But I don't have control over somebody else's growth. I only have control over my own growth. And so, although I can seek Christ for his healing and transformation in my life, I have to honor my parents and others by honoring the decisions that they make. And when they don't make the decisions that allows Jesus to get down into the deep areas of their lives and transform them, then I have to arrange circumstances in light of all that. When allowed to do so, Christ heals the pain that causes dysfunctional behavior. We don't give up on people. We trust the Lord to work in them and also in us. We pray for our parents. We honor them. We keep the doors of respect and communication open. We give God time. God is making all things new. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our parents. We thank you that you are our ultimate parent, our Heavenly Father. And Father, we trust you with what we don't understand. We may not understand, Father, why you gave us the parents you did, but we trust you. And we know that your ways are good. And we know that as we trust you and walk with you, you're bringing good out of our relationship with our parents. We honor them. We bless them. We love them. We want to serve them. Show us how, Lord. Protect us. Transform us. Bring reconciliation where reconciliation is needed. Forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. You are doing all things new. Transform us and our parents and all with whom we relate. We love you, Lord. You are the answer. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. We bless you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.